Yay! We are in session 8 and in week 4. I cannot believe how fast this time is going. This is Jen Verheeren from jenverheeren.com and Cadence Coaching. In this session, I'm going to describe a concept that we use in positive reinforcement horse training that I think you'll recognize from working with horses or from working with other animals in a training context. Its relevance to our topic will become clear in a few minutes. In positive reinforcement training, we have two terms that we use to describe two types of training behavior. That is, behavior of the trainer, not the horse. These two terms are splitting and lumping. In splitting behavior, as a trainer, you have a plan in mind to teach your horse something. You describe your goal, you identify your starting point, and how you're going to divide that goal into teeny tiny baby steps in order to build the skills to a final desired result. You split your goal into small baby steps, and then you train every single step separately and consecutively. You train each one to mastery before you move on to the next step. In this way, you train or shape your goal skill in a very systematic way. Each baby step is a building block of the desired skill. In lumping behavior, the steps that the trainer lays out for the horse are too big. Too many criteria are asked for all at once, and the horse does not fully understand what is being asked. As the trainer, if you've lumped, you've simply asked the horse to meet too many criteria too soon. Lumping behavior in a trainer shows up as signs in the horse. Fear, frustration, disinterest, distraction, anger, and shutting down are all signs in a horse that a trainer has lumped. Your horse might become disinterested, resistant, or frustrated because he doesn't understand what's expected of him and will feel stressed under pressure. Most often, we don't just grab a frightened horse out of the stall, slap a saddle on it, and start cracking the whip in order to get it to do what we want. No, we slowly acclimate it to each new stimulus in order to build confidence and calm. So splitting behavior is obviously the most desirable of the two. Splitting behavior is not easy. It takes practice and a tremendous amount of patience. At first glance, it can seem that splitting is a much longer route to your goal. But interestingly, over time, if you apply it, you'll find that splitting actually takes less time. The horse learns to learn efficiently and gets good at tackling each little step along the way to your training goal. Learning that is achieved is thorough and reliable. So, what does this have to do with performance skills and overcoming fear? If you have had a fall or a trauma that haunts you, or you're wanting to get back in the saddle after time off, or you're plagued by nerves every time you go to mount, or you find yourself to be almost as spooky as your horse is, it's time for you to treat your nervous system as if it's a horse. That means no lumping, no pushing through your fear of cantering by forcing yourself to do it over and over, or making yourself go to a show and ride through a show jumping round if you're still really nervous jumping at home. No more doing things because you think you should, despite joy-stealing fear. It's time to treat yourself with the compassion that you would a horse. That doesn't mean you don't have high standards and have big goals. It just means you become a splitter. You take your goal and you split it up into as many small pieces as you can. You then go step by step through those pieces and tackle them one at a time, the whole time giving your nervous system time to adjust to each new level of stimulus. It's not about convincing yourself there is nothing to be afraid of. I dare say you and everyone around you has probably been trying that. It's also not about coddling yourself or letting yourself off the hook from important activities. We all know that if you coddle a frightened horse, it will become more frightened. This is about being your own best leader. I have a client whose stated goal was to ride in a Cavalletti class with her friends. Her horse had bolted with her once in the past, and she came to me wanting to overcome the fear that started after that experience, but that had been mushrooming ever since. Her instructor and she both agreed that the bolt was a freak thing and that her horse was basically safe and appropriate for her. She had, however, gotten to the point where she was riding in private lessons, but not at home on her own very much, and not ever with other horses in the ring, and not ever without fear as her constant companion. She said some days she was so paralyzed by fear that she simply could not get her horse to go forward. Other days, he would start out a little spooky and she would get off and put him away. She felt she was missing out on so much. Her nervous system was basically operating on overdrive as a result of her bad experience, and she was stuck in the fear cycle. Even though she knew there was nothing to be afraid of and that her horse was safe, her nervous system didn't yet know that. She was not interested in giving up her horse or giving up riding. She was totally committed to overcoming her own fear. So here is what she did to retrain her nervous system. First, she had to accept that she was having a physiological response to riding that she could not change simply by talking herself out of it. Logic doesn't work when you're dealing with your own nervous system, just as it doesn't work when you're training horses. She realized that she would need to retrain her nervous system and not be so reactive. Retrain her nervous system to not be so reactive to certain things. So I had her decide on her first benchmark or short-term goal, and she decided that she wanted to be able to walk and trot in the arena with one other horse and keep her fear level at a one or a two. Once she'd mastered that, she would move on to her second benchmark, which was to ride through a variety of Cavalletti exercises while also staying at a one or a two. Then she'd be able to put those two things gradually together and attend her Cavalletti classes. So next, I asked her to identify exactly when the anxiety would start to come up. What was the trigger? She said she could feel her nerves start to go crazy as soon as she started leading her horse from the barn aisle into the arena. She would feel her fear go from a one to a four as she got nearer to the arena door. All right, so that would be step one. Leading her horse from the wash stall to the arena. The next trigger was mounting. She'd be overcome by fear as she climbed up on the mounting block. That would be step two. Then walking off. Then making walk-halt transitions. Then riding a 20-meter circle at the walk. Then the whole arena at the walk. Then walk-trot transitions. Then a 20-meter circle in the trot. Then the whole arena in the trot. Then leading her horse in the arena while a trusted friend was riding a trusted horse. Then riding while her trusted friend leads the other horse. Then riding together in the arena at walk. Then riding together at walk and trot. So you get the idea. So every day she was to approach her training session with no idea how far along in those steps she would get. The first day I had her lead her horse into the arena with the intention of getting on. But when her fear went up to a four or a five, she was to pause and breathe and observe her emotions. Her assignment was to use measured breath and keep noticing what her fear level was, to observe her emotion. Inevitably, when you do this, your fear will subside. Once it had gone back down to a one, she went back to the wash stall, turned around and headed back to the arena again with every intention of getting on. Again, her fear went up to a four. She repeated that until she was walking from the wash stall to the mounting block and staying between a one and a two. When she moved on to the mounting block, at whatever point her fear would go up to a four or a five and she could feel herself start to hold her breath, she felt butterflies in her stomach, she felt a little nauseous, she would pause. She would breathe and she would observe. And then she'd repeat that step until she was staying at a one or a two as she led her horse up to the mounting block. How small each step was really determined by how well her nervous system was acclimating to each one. As with horses, every day is different. Some days she would get to step five. Some days she'd have to get on and off at the mounting block until she ran out of time. Over a period of a few months, this client went from having fear as a constant companion to riding in weekly Cavaletti lessons with her friends, which she loved. Riding came to represent freedom and fear for her again. As you play with this concept, be patient with yourself and condition your nervous system to every small step in your plan. Ask for help if you need it. It may be really helpful to have a friend or instructor there to support you through this, as long as they completely understand your objective. You will have reached mastery at each step along the way when you consistently and easily go from a 4 or a 5 to a 1 or a 2 on your fear scale. You can apply this system to almost any situation or goal that is being blocked by what you might think of as irrational fear or anxiety. In order to successfully do it, however, you must let go of being goal-oriented in the familiar sense and totally tune into your emotions in order to train them. You must become a splitter. One important outcome of this exercise is that it requires you to stop judging your emotions and start observing them. This is the only way that they will begin to move and operate as they should. It is quite often our judgment of ourselves or feeling a particular way that really keeps us stuck. Just as you are not your thoughts, you are also not your emotions. What you resist persists, and judgment is one of the most powerful forms of resistance there is. Each of us has differing degrees of fear stemming from an infinite possibility of reasons. None of this matters once you commit to retraining your nervous system and getting to the other side of your fear. Even if you don't have this kind of fear yourself to overcome, I guarantee that this will come in handy sometime as you're supporting a friend, family member, or student as they battle their own demons. This understanding of fear and how to train your nervous system can make you not only a better rider, but a better friend, a better parent, and a better teacher. Please ask me any questions you have about this week while you've got me here. This is the final recording of the performance project, but we still have some time left. Thank you so much for sharing all of this time and space with me over the last month. I'll look forward to our final hours together next week. Namaste.